And good evening and praise the Lord. Good evening, good evening and praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I am so grateful and thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ that we have another opportunity to spend time with Him concerning His Word and concerning the things of His Word, the ways of His Word, and how we are to continue to just glorify Him in our life with the fruit of our lips and praise and worship Him. Good evening, those who are listening tonight, those who have called in, listening live on the Internet. I want to say thank you so much for your faithfulness to the program, and not only the program, but faithfulness to God Almighty. And that's the most important thing in the times that we're in right now. And I just want to say blessings to you who have called in. I know this has been a busy day for me, and I am grateful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how He has brought me through this day, and I pray that He has brought you through this through your day today as well. So blessings to you, and God be the glory. And we're just going to have a good time tonight. Tonight is going to be a little different program. We came off of a teaching segment of the Holy Spirit. As I've mentioned in the past programs, the Holy Spirit was our teaching track, and it was introduced to Mission from the Heart through my mentor, Pastor Michael Crow. And then once we saw the ministry of the Holy Spirit and kind of went through that, we moved right into the fruit of the Spirit. And I am just so forever grateful for the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, revealing to us those rich nuggets through His Word concerning His very character. And we knew that to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And tonight, and we concluded that teaching segment on last Thursday with the undesirable fruit. And we looked at that undesirable fruit last program. And I tell you, it was a life-changing experience when you look at yourself in the mirror and you extend your hands to God saying, Lord, clean me up. Shape and mold the fruit that I know I possess within inside me because I believe and trust You. But there's some fruit that are still undesirable within me. And, of course, we identified that particular fruit as the fruit of the flesh or the desires of the flesh that rise up in us or that still needs to be pruned from us. So we looked at that beautifully last program, and today, I tell you, we've got something really good tonight. And for those who are on the line listening, I want you to stick with me. I put online now. Before I move to the topic, I want to mention this. Mission from the Heart is you can listen to Mission from the Heart live on the Internet now. So not only can you call in through your phone and you push option one to be live with the host, which I will be prompting those who are listening, giving an opportunity for question and answer Q&A tonight, but you can also listen to Mission from the Heart Radio live on the Internet. And I'm going to give the link for you to write this down and share it with others or have it saved as a favorite on your desktop. And www.blogtalkradio, all one word, blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com/heart2heart, and that's the number two. It's heart to heart, MFTH, and that's mission from the heart, but it's the first alphabet of each word. And that, let me say that again, www.blogtalkradio.com/heart, the number two, heart, that's all one word, heart to heart, MFTH. And that you can listen online by clicking on that link and click the live button, and you can listen to Mission from the Heart via the internet. And so I just thank God for that opportunity that we have. He is so blessing this ministry to continue to be a blessing to others. And I just want to let you know that Mission from the Heart's purpose is to, it has several purposes, but its main purpose is to expose the Word of God, to expound the Word of God, and to extend the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just believe that's what we do every Thursday night. We expose the Word of God by revealing the truth, and we expound the Word of God by explaining the truth. And then we extend the gospel of Jesus Christ by way of offering people salvation as we pray for them. And I thank you for praying with me on past programs, and I just believe that there are those that listen and go back and listen to the program on things that they have missed, and they become saved in their heart as they allow the Holy Spirit to just breathe on them concerning this mission. And that is the purpose of our radio program, Mission from the Heart. And I need you to help me mission from the heart. So thank you again. So I just wanted to put that link out there. Again, it's www.blogtalkradio.com, all one word, then the /, and heart to heart, MFTH, and that's heart, the number two, heart, MFTH, and that MFTH stands for Mission from the Heart. Click on there, and you can click on the live button, and you're right there listening with us online via the internet. So now this brings us to our topic, and tonight we are going to have some thought-provoking questions, and I just want to hear from the audience tonight. I don't want you to be timid or afraid to dialogue with me tonight concerning the truths of my topic tonight, and that topic is the wayward world. We live in this world, and we're going to... The topic is the wayward world, harlot or bride. And the wayward world, harlot or bride, is for us to see the world that we're living in. Now, not only just see the world as we see it, but see it as Christ sees it. And so this is what I want to expose tonight. I want to expound on this tonight and just extract out some nuggets and, of course, extend the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we could talk for hours and days on end concerning the wayward world, harlot or bride. But again, we do know that God's word is to be a reflection of himself through us, that it would come out of us, that it would be extended to someone to come into the family of faith or the church or to become a believer in Christ Jesus. Now, again, the wayward world, harlot or bride, is for us to see ourselves. Am I a harlot or am I a bride? And this is the question. Now, we live in the world, but we know Scripture teaches us not to be of the world. So we live in a world that is wayward, and we've seen these examples of the waywardness on the internet, on social media, on the TV, and even in our family's actions, sometimes in our own children. And as we journey to the job, we can see just so many things going on around us. But my question is, in this wayward world, are we a harlot or are we a bride? Tonight, I was supposed to have a guest host with me, and I'm not sure if he's going to chime in or not. My guest host was going to be Carl Fred Giles. I pray and hope that all is well, and I hope he has an opportunity to chime in tonight and be with us as we walk through this awesome title concerning the wayward world. And I just want to look at a couple of definitions in the topic tonight. So now, when you are prompted to chime in, please unmute your phone, and you can chime in with the host by hitting option 1 if you haven't done that already and you've got your phone on mute, or you can dial in and hit option 1, and then I will give you an opportunity to chime in, and we can speak in dialogue together. So this is what I'm hoping that we will have an opportunity to just talk. Let's talk about this wayward world that we live in, and let's look at some reasons as to why it is what it is. Now, the question, my focus question is, why is the world so disobedient toward God's call? Now, stick with me tonight, because we need to know and understand some simplicities to God's word and some simplicities to the way he teaches us through his word. Very simplistic. And so we see the world that we live in, and the focus question is this: why is the world so disobedient toward God's call? So I would love for someone who's listening tonight to have a question for me, or at least an answer, or share their understanding, or maybe just their view on why is the world so disobedient toward God's call. And so just kind of hold on to that particular focus question, but I want to also look at this. Now, I like to define words in the beginning of my topic or my program, just so we can get a simple understanding and a deep understanding of what these particular issues mean. And as I went through the fruit of the Spirit, I gave the definition of those particular types of fruit, which are God's character, love, joy, peace, you know, faithfulness, gentleness. And I like to do that because as we were taught in school, we were taught to, in our spelling words, to define words and give the definition. And I thank God for that practice in school because it helps us to better understand what that word means. So if my brother is on the line, Carl Fred Giles, I would love for him to chime in when he can, because I believe he is ready for me to for us to dialogue together. So he says, here is the definition of a harlot. Harlot means prostitute, to use something valuable, such as talent, in a way that is not appropriate or respectable, and especially to earn money. Now, that's a harlot. What the Bible refers to a woman who uses something valuable, such as a talent, in a way that is not appropriate or respectable, and especially to earn money. Now, we know this to be a prostitute. We use that word more so in today's times than we do a harlot. We use the word prostitution or a prostitute, and we're familiar with the job skills that a harlot, for the sense of the word, or a prostitute, we know the job skills that she or he wants to maintain for a profit. And, of course, this is contrary to with what God wants us to do with our bodies, with ourselves, and not only that, with our lifestyle. And even in the way that we think, we can prostitute ourselves to so many things. Now, again, harlot means prostitute, also says to use something valuable, such as talents. We can use our talents to prostitute ourselves to greed. We can use our thinking to prostitute ourselves to sin. So in a way that it is not appropriate and or respectable, and especially to gain a profit or earn money. So we understand the meaning to harlot. And what I want to do is break that down even further in biblical times. We understand that harlot, God used that to describe the ways of the Israelites pertaining to sin. And we know that a harlot or a prostitute has a job skill that is sinful in respect to having sex outside of marriage, or having sex with different partners. And that is not what God tells us to do in that light. But we can also prostitute ourselves to the ways of sin in all degrees. We discussed that undesirable fruit last program. Last Thursday, we discussed that, and we can prostitute ourselves to the desires of the flesh. And some of that undesirable fruit was discussed, and it shows to be contrary to what God wants us to do. And we can be greedy, we can be envious, we can be deceitful, and some of us can be so deceitful that we will use that lie or as a half-truth or as a jokey joke. Oh, I'm just joking. When we are called to be honest and truthful concerning our words, our yes be yes and our no be no, and we are to maintain an integrity that we are a man or a woman of our word. And so we can prostitute ourselves to filthy language. And all of this means is that we lust or hunger for something that is inappropriate to what God has called us to do. So we understand what a harlot means, the ways that the Israelites prostituted themselves to gods and to the ways of foreign gods. And we read about this from Genesis to throughout the scriptures on how the Israelites came out of Egypt and when they were in the wilderness and they were down at the foot of Mount Sinai when Moses was at the top of the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments written by God. They were down there creating a foreign god out of the gold and silver that was told to be brought out of Egypt, and they created a golden calf. And so they started living as harlots, if you will, and that symbolism as a prostitute, prostituting themselves to the drinking and the partying and draping themselves over a man-made god. And he tells us to turn from that, to not grab hold of that way of life. So God refers to them as a harlot, representing sin nature. Okay, now I want to move forward and I want to talk to you about the bride. Now that is a lot more pleasing. That may put a smile on some's face when we've been a bride, for those of you who've been married, or a groom for that matter. But I like to say this, that this is a time when a male and a female are considered a bride of the bridegroom. This word in the biblical sense does not identify gender when we are speaking of the church being the bride. So I like that in biblical, in a spiritual realm, whereas, of course, in the natural realm, it's altogether different. A male and a female bring about a marriage, and it's the same as Jesus being our bridegroom, and we are his bride. So here we know bride is a woman who has just married or is about to be married. Now, that's what Webster identifies a bride as, a woman who has just married or is about to be married. Now, let's think about this. A woman who has just married or is about to be married. Now, I want to focus on the word married. That's what I want to focus on. And again, this is a time when we are looking at the wayward world, harlot versus bride, or harlot or bride. So now that we know the meaning of harlot and the meaning of bride, let's look at bride in a deeper and a more biblical way. So for those of us who've been married, it's an exciting time. It's a joyful time for us to prepare ourselves to be one with our fiancé. And we go through a lot of preparation to become this bride that we so desire to be as we have set dates and prepared for this big celebration, if you will. Now, it doesn't matter how small the celebration as far as where it's located, if it's at a Justice of the Peace or if it's in a church setting or if it's in a hall. It doesn't matter how many people come or how many people don't come. The bottom line is it's a big celebration in the two individuals' hearts and in their minds because they now are coming together to become one, husband and wife. So this marriage or communion or celebration time is an awesome experience between the two, man and a woman. Okay? And so now this brings us to my question. Now, we know the wayward world, harlot or bride. I've given a little illustration of how God referred to the Israelites coming out of Egypt as a harlot, and through the scriptures, we see that in the different books of the Bible and how he refers to them as that. And then we also see how the scriptures refer to the church as his bride, his bride. Now, this is my question to those who are listening. The question is this. Now, my focus question was, why is the world so disobedient toward God's call? And you can make it personal. You can ask yourself, why am I so disobedient toward God's call on my life? Why? Am I being a harlot? A harlot disobeys. Or am I being a bride? A bride obeys. And we'll see that as we walk through a few scriptures. So I want question one, question two actually, but how did the fall affect humanity? How did the fall affect humanity? Now, again, the topic is the wayward world, harlot or bride, and how did the fall affect humanity? Let's look at a few nuggets in Scripture real quickly, and then I'm going to open the lines up for some question and answer, and I pray in Jesus' name that someone or that you that are listening would love to share with me some of these thoughts. These are thought-provoking questions that kind of will help others who are listening live or listening on the line to come to a better understanding or want to get a deeper understanding of how to come out of one area of life, which is harlotry, or and come into a beautiful area of life called the bride. So how did the fall affect humanity? Well, let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. For you who are listening, let's make note of that. Romans chapter 5. Verse 12 through 19, Romans 5, verse 12 through 19. And it reads like this. And I should have had it. Romans 12, chapter 5, verse 12. And I should have had it up. And I hate that I didn't. But that's okay. I thank you for the pages of your Bible slipping. All right. Romans 5, verse 12 reads this way. And I'm going to read it in the NIV translation. I'm sorry, New Living Translation. It says this. When Adam sinned, sin entered the entire human race. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given. And though there was no law to break, since it had not yet been given, they all died anyway. Even though they did not disobey an explicit command of God, an explicit commandment of God, as Adam did. What a contrast between Adam and Christ, who was yet to come. Verse 15, and what a difference between our sin and God's gracious gift of forgiveness. For this one man, Adam, brought death to many through his sin. But this other man, Jesus Christ, brought forgiveness to many through God's bountiful gift. Verse 16, and the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation. But we have the free gift of being accepted by God, even though we are guilty of many sins. 17, the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over us. But all who receive God's wonderful, gracious gift of righteousness will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brought condemnation upon everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness makes all people right in God's sight and gives them life. And 19, because one person's disobeyed God, many people became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many people will be made right in God's sight. Now that is so awesome. Now that Romans 5, verse 12 through 19, that just explains the difference between the wayward world, harlot, or bride. Read it for yourself. Now I read it in the New Living Translation, but it's very, very clear. It's very clear. 2 Corinthians. Now, I just read Romans chapter 5, verse 12 through 19, for those of you who are just coming on the line, and we're looking at how did the fall affect humanity. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21 reads this way. And let's go there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Let's move down to 21, and it reads as such. God, and I'm in the NIV. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now that's just clear. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we, me, you, could be made right with God through Christ. Through Christ. For Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. No man can get to the Father but through him. Jesus was the propitiation paid on that cross so that we may have a right to God. Come to the throne of grace through Jesus. He is the only way, no other way. That was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21. Now, the question was, how did the fall affect humanity? And I just want to say that it brought about separation from God. As the harlot portrayal, which portrays sin, it brings separation from God. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. It brings separation from God. Sin brings separation from God. We become aware of our sins, and feelings of shame come upon us. Genesis 3, verse 8 through 10. We saw that in Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, and it says this. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Verse 9, but the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. We become aware of our sins, and feelings of shame come upon us. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. When we sin, we try to hide from God the sin we have committed, as if we can. We try to hide from God, or hide the sin from God we have committed. And we just read that. They hid. They were afraid. They were shameful. And that can be us when we know we are blatantly committing sin as a prostitute. They know that they are committing this sin. We know when we are lying. We know when we are being vindictive. We know when we are being jealous. We know this. We know when we are being hatred toward others. We know this. We try to find excuses for our sins. We try to find excuses and not owning up to them. The blame game. We see that in Genesis 3, verse 12. The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Well, that's just passing the buck. Blaming. It was the woman you gave me. And she did the same thing. She blamed the serpent. Now, how many of us are trying to blame others for our own wrongdoing? Well, if you had not have done this, then I wouldn't have lied. Well, if you would have just, then I would not have. My father always told my oldest son, when he got into trouble, and my father would always ask him or tell him, son, you have a bad case of excusitis, a disease of always trying to find excuses for the wrongs that you're committing and not owning up to them. And we see that clearly in Scripture with what Adam and Eve both did. And then, of course, we know it brings about death. Eventually, death follows. When we refuse to turn away, unrepentant, turning completely away from the sins that we blatantly commit, and we just absolutely refuse to change, then Scripture tells us that God will turn us over to a reprobate mind. We do not want to be eternally separated from God. And He will turn us over to a mindset of that, which brings death. Yes, the body lays down in natural death, but eternal death is not what we want. So, according to Romans 8:22, it says, for we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. So, the world, creation, why are we groaning? And when I say we, I'm talking about people who have given their life to Christ who want to latch on to a harlot's way of life. And we don't look different from the world. When Scripture tells us we are in the world but don't be the world, you are set apart from that. But a lot of Christian believers look worldly. We live worldly. We talk worldly. We live as if there's no hope. Wayward. Harlot. And so we are having groaning pains of a childbirth for those who have experienced that. And the pain is painful. It is excruciating pain when we can live in peace. According to the fruit of the Spirit, we have love. Love the unlovable. Love in spite of. We have joy. Joy unspeakable. We have peace that surpasses all of our finite understanding. We can be as patient as God. Kind and faithful to the call and maintain self-control. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. Eventually death follows. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. That explains it all. So if we looked at the definition of a harlot, which means prostitute, to use something valuable, such as talent, in a way that is not appropriate or respectable, and especially to earn money. So now the money that is being earned at the time, it's temporary, it ain't going to last, but it ends up in death. So these are some areas that we do not want to teeter-totter in. Separation from God, no. Become aware of our sin and feelings of shame upon us and not be repentant. No, we try to hide from God the sin we have committed. No, we try to find excuses for our sin and not owning up to them, meaning asking for forgiveness, the blame game, and then eventually death. No. Let's look at the bride quickly, and then I'm going to open up the phones for question and answer. Let's look at the bride, how beautiful the bride is. As we explained, a woman who has just married or is about to be married. But what is so exciting about the bride is the preparation time, the preparing for her groom to come. And this is my next question, and this is a thought-provoking question. Now, of course, we looked at the question concerning how did the fall affect humanity, and we saw how Adam sinned and how it affected the world, you and I. We were born in sin, and before we became a new creation, we were sinful, headed for death. But when the light came on that we knew that we could not save ourselves, that we needed a Savior, is when we became a bride. And we no longer wear those old dirty robes of sin. We now wear those new white robes or white linen, as some translations, fine linen garments, white robes of righteousness. So let's look at the bride. Let's look at the bride. Hallelujah. What does it mean that the church is the bride of Christ? Write that question down, because I want to hear some thoughts tonight on What does it mean that the church is the bride of Christ? Now, one, I have a couple of points, but I want to hear from you. In the New Testament, Christ, the bridegroom, has sacrificially and lovingly chosen the church to be his bride. He has done that according to Ephesians 5 and 27. Ephesians 5 and 27. And it reads this way. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. Now, I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church, or wrinkle, or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. Without fault. 25. You husbands must love your wives with the same love Christ showed the church, us. He gave up his life for her, the bride, the church, to make her holy and clean, washed by baptism and God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. The bride. The bride. Spot or wrinkle. Now, when we look at the bride, just as there was a betrothal period in biblical times during which the bride and the groom were separated until the wedding. Now, remember that word separated. We looked at in the harlot, sin brought separation. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it brought separation between them and God. And as we know, in the dating time, we are to be separated prior to the wedding. We're dating, and then when the wedding comes, it's called the betrothal period. We are to be separate until the wedding. So is the bride of Christ separate from her bridegroom during the church age? Now, the church age is also known as the last days. We are in the last days, called the church age. And during this period of separation, we are to be responsible during this betrothal period, if you will, faithful to him. We are to be faithful to the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:2, and it would explain this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. Walk with me there. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2 says this. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. This is the NIV. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. That's awesome. So we are to be responsible in these days of being a bride of light in a dark place, in a wayward world that brings on harlotry acts. We are to be a light, shining bright, the characters of God, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, self-control. That makes a beautiful bride to God. Ephesians 5:24, we read that earlier. And it explains that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24, says it very beautifully as well. It says this, as the church submits to Christ, so you wives must submit to your husbands in everything. So if you're going to be a bride, we need to submit to the Holy Spirit and yield the Holy Spirit. Submit to the Word of God. Yield to the Word of God. Submit to His call upon your life. Don't deny it. Don't run from it. Embrace it so that you can be used for a greater purpose in the kingdom building of the body, the bride, being responsible to the call. And so, and then when Jesus comes back in the second coming, the church will be united with the bridegroom. The official wedding ceremony will take place. The official wedding ceremony will take place. I want to open up the lines. We've got about 10 minutes to open up the lines for some question and answers. I hope you are still with me. And if you would unmute your phone or and if you would like to share some thoughts or some additional verses that tenderly give you an opportunity to help someone who maybe wants to or need to know that they are a child of God or a bride. The bride, the church, is considered the bride of Christ. The church is considered the bride of Christ. And to take those old dirty robes off as a harlot and become a bride in righteousness. And I like the way Revelation chapter 20 puts what describes us in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 20. I'm sorry, chapter 19, verse 7 and 9. And it puts it pretty beautifully. It describes how we are to let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. Our righteousness. The fine linen represents our righteousness. So, for those who may want to have an opportunity to, I'm learning how to do my program online, but I'm trying to see if you would like to speak up. And if not, then this will bring us to the end of our program. My co-host wasn't able to make it, but maybe next week we will have Pastor Michael Crowe back on the program to share with us some beautiful insights concerning God's Word. So please unmute your phone if you can. And speak up at this time. If not, then we're going to close out the lesson tonight, the program. It was such a blessing to be able to look at the beautiful, beautiful scriptures that show us that the church has been chosen as the bride. The church must maintain faithfulness and righteousness and maintain a readiness to extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to so many that are lost in this world. It brings me to my conclusion concerning the wayward world, harlot or bride. And I like to think about it in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And it says this, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and return and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." And that's straight out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Try to memorize that scripture. I mean, it says so much. If my people, the church, the bride, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek God's face, turn from that old harlotry way, that undesirable fruit, then I will hear from heaven. And he says, I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So we know we need a healing on the inside. We know we need a healing on the outside. Some of us who aren't saved, some of us who need salvation, you know who they are. Extend the gospel of Jesus Christ. Extend the gift of salvation. It was free for you. It's free to them too. So allow them to have an opportunity to become a bride and not hold on to that harlot lifestyle. So this brings us to the end of the program this evening with Mission from the Heart Radio. I am so forever grateful for those who are listening live. Hallelujah. For those who are listening on the line. Hallelujah. Continue to be faithful to God through his programming, through worship service at your church, and continue to just draw into him and study his word and continue to just bask in his presence with you. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you so beautifully that Revelations 22 and 17 says it this way, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who come, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Freely. The water of life freely. And he beckons us to come. That's Revelation 22, verse 17. Thank you again for being so faithful to the program. Share this program with others in your circle. And for those of you who want to revisit the program and just make some more notes, please don't hesitate to go back and visit on blogtalkradio.com/heart-to-heart, MFTH. Heart, the number two, heart, MFTH. And that means Mission from the Heart. Thank you again for your faithfulness. God bless. I love you, and know that God loves you even more, and continue on the straight and narrow path of righteousness. Hallelujah, and glory be to God. Good night.